wearing my shades today because I'm going to talk to you today about Eon 3, also called by Paul the present wicked Eon. This is the Eon we're living in now, and I don't like it. I don't like this Eon, so I'm dissociating myself from the Eon. And let me tell you, whenever I listen to the radio, hi everybody, Martin Zender, whenever I listen to the radio and I hear a guy giving me the weather and he said, here's the weather for your Tuesday, I get so mad. I can't turn the radio off fast enough, and I usually curse and I spit and I murmur and moan and groan because it ain't my Tuesday, brother. And you're not even my brother. I dissociate myself from you, weatherman or weather girl. Here's the weather for your Tuesday, not my Tuesday, because lots of people are going to die today. I did not decree this day. I despise this day. Here's the weather for your Saturday, for your weekend, not my weekend. It might be your weekend, little radio boy, because you might not have to work. Fine. I work 7 days a week. It doesn't matter. My point is, this weekend, thousands of people are going to die. According to the song, Don't Fear the Reaper, there's 40,000 men and women every day dying, and the grave is never satisfied, and I hate it. And if you ever say again that this is my Eon, I'm going to kick your ass across the radio world, because I disassociate myself. That's why I'm wearing sunglasses, because I'm about to describe for you what is called in Galatians 1:4 the present wicked eon. Here's the weather forecast for your eon, not my eon, dude. I didn't invent it. I don't have the power to create evil. I don't have the constitution, either emotional, physical, or spiritual, to create a cosmos in which there is death. Or how about this? To create a cosmos in which the chief most characteristic is death. I declaim it. I despise it. I discard it. Now, at the same time, I realize that it's of God. But indignation is mine, saith the Lord. Yeah, good for you. You can have it. And I hold the keys of death and hell, saith the Lord. Great. You can have those keys. I don't want them. I don't hold the keys of death and hell. It's not my eon. It's not my Wednesday. It's not my Thursday. It's not my Friday. It's not my weekend. So quit it. I hate it. At the same time, I realize that it's necessary. People say, Martin, you teach that God is the author of evil. No, God teaches that. I don't say that. I say that God is the creator of good and evil, Isaiah 45:7. I didn't create good and evil. God did. I'm only reporting. Yes, I'm wearing a suit coat today with no shirt because I have a shirt issue, so I'm wearing a suit coat. So I'm trying to keep the camera focused here so we don't keep it G-rated here. So I didn't create good and evil. God did. That's why he says that he did it alone. Whenever God says, I did this alone, he doesn't mean that he didn't work through intermediaries or that he didn't work with the Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. That's a plural. It just means that he doesn't need the help of humanity. He asked Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of earth? Can you tell me? Where were you when I created Leviathan? Where were you? Where were you? You almighty human being. Right? I did it alone. When he says alone, he doesn't mean, again, that he didn't do it through other Elohim that he authorized and that carry his name in their title, Elohim, right? The name of God, El, is in there. It's inherent in their title. It just means that he doesn't need the help, the advice of humanity. And our bitching and moaning doesn't stop him. And I'm happy about that. If my bitching and moaning stopped God, I'd be in trouble. I don't want it to stop him. He has very broad shoulders. Even Job cursed him out. He didn't curse God out. He said, I cursed the day I was born. You know, and he cursed his mother's womb. And he cursed his father and his mother for having sex and bringing him into the world. But now here you are. You know, I thought about that too before I had kids. I told my friends, I said, I'm never going to have kids because why would I want to bring any kids into the world? What did I do? I had 3 kids. So this thing is beyond me. This thing of God creating evil, it's beyond me. Does God sin in creating evil? Hell no, he doesn't sin. God never sins. He never makes a mistake. That proves that evil is not a mistake. And you see, evil is also Aeonian. This is what I've been trying to say. Evil, along with death, along with sin, is Aeonian. It is temporary. Just because it's Aeonian doesn't mean it's temporary, but in the case of sin, death, and evil, it is temporary, because all these things are agents to bring about a greater good. For instance, God is described as aeonian in Romans 16:25, but that doesn't mean he ends. It means that he's a God of time, as we're going to see next week when I talk about the name Yahweh, which is also Jehovah, which is translated Lord in the New Testament. All right, a little irritated. Let me see. Where's my bunker light? Has anybody seen my bunker light? No. How would you know? All right, we're going to try it without the bunker light. This is the greatest irony. I need a bunker light to find the bunker light. Oh, wait a minute. I just found it. Okay. Noah walked off the boat into a new eon. That's our eon, folks. Our friendly little eon is the eon Noah walked into. Now, Adam was born into eon number two. In eon number one, there were no dinosaurs, there were no people. God created the heavens and the earth, Elohim, sorry. The earth became a chaos and vacant. That was the disruption, and then the darkness was on the waters, as we talked about yesterday. Happy times! Happy times! And Adam was created on eon two. Everything was nifty, because there was a canopy of water above the earth, and there was water underneath the earth. And the canopy of water above the earth made it so that the weather was agreeable. And whenever Adam turned on a radio, they said, here's the forecast for your Wednesday. 100% chance of beautiful weather because there's a canopy of earth. Canopy of water above the earth that is diffusing the sun, and there are no extremes at the poles, and the equator is just as warm as the North and South Pole because of the canopy of water. And that canopy of water broke. It's like a woman in labor. When her water breaks, it's like, oh, shit. Oh, my water broke. Can you imagine in the days of Noah? Noah looks up and goes, oh, my water broke. In this case, it means that the canopy of water that was above the earth, and remember in Genesis 1:3, God makes an atmosphere in between the waters, separating waters from the waters. That's the exact quote. Separates the waters from the waters. So there was an atmosphere and in between sandwich. It was like the atmosphere in those days was like the cream in an Oreo. And the top Oreo cookie was, in my epic spiritual analogy here, would be the canopy of water above the earth. And the canopy below would be, you know, the waters of the earth and everything, and there were springs in the ground. And it didn't rain in those days because the water came up from the ground like little springs. Like it was Old Faithful everywhere. It's like, oh, it's raining out. You didn't need an umbrella. If you did, you needed an inverted umbrella. Back in the days of Adam and Eon 2, you just hold your umbrella upside down. See, things have changed because the water came up from the ground to irrigate the land. But it didn't break forth as it did in the days of Noah. So this canopy broke. Water's breaking! And it came up from the ground, and blah, 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 that was the flood of Noah. And Noah walked out into Eon 3. God help him. That's the current era. That's why Jesus says, as in the days of Noah. It's the same thing. This is cool. All right. This is really interesting, I think. I just thought of this. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the days of the Son of Man. Noah walked out onto a new eon and a new world. And in the days of Noah that are now, we're also walking out and going to be walking out into a new eon, into a new world. That's cool. Noah bookends this thing. Man, I'm glad I'm not him. So this is called in Galatians 1:4, the present wicked eon. I have my bunker light now. I've located it. So we're all good. It's called the current eon in the following verses. 1 Timothy 6:17. 2 Timothy 4:10, Titus 2:12, the current eon. That proves to you that there are other eons, really, because why say the current eon if there's just one eon? We're in the current one, got it? It's the present eon, the current eon, this eon. Jesus calls it this eon in Matthew 11:32, Matthew 13:22, Mark 4:29, Luke, looks like 16:8 there, yeah. A bunch of different places, this eon. Now, Jesus says for the eon, right? And he's talking about the coming eon. He promises them blessings for the eon. He says, you will not die. Here's another mistranslation in the King James Version. Whoever believes in me shall never die. That's what Jesus is purportedly to have said, but he didn't. He said, whoever believes in me shall not die for the eon. It means he won't die in the coming eon. He'll be giving life that endures through the coming eon. We have phrases from the eon and out of the eon. And here's the cool thing. He talks about the conclusion of the eon. Jesus talks about the conclusion. This eon is going to conclude. That's good news, because this eon sucks. Or to quote Galatians 1:4, it's the current wicked eon. Here's the forecast for your eon 3. It's going to end. And you can go to verses to prove that. Here are the verses. Matthew 13:39. Matthew 13:40. Matthew 13:49. Matthew 24:3. Talks about the conclusion of the eon. What eon? This eon. Now, here's something cool. Jesus also talked about the coming eon. So now we have not only a hint that we're in a current eon and it has an end, but there's an eon to come. Not many people realize this. Some have a vague idea that something's coming. It's called an eon. Now, the eon to come, you can go to Mark 10:30 and Luke 18:30. Talk about the eon to come. The future eon, that's mentioned in Hebrews 6:5. This is good news for us because we're getting the heck out of this one. And that eon, Luke, that's the verse I told you yesterday, Luke 20:35. That's a really cool passage. Go to that. That's your homework. Luke 20:35, this eon and that eon. That is so cool because there's proof that this eon ends and there's a coming one, because this eon and that eon. That eon can't come until this eon ends. And that it does end, we learned from great verses that speak of the conclusion of the eon, namely Matthew 13:39 and so on. And then we have the conclusion of the eon again, Matthew 28:20. Right, that brings us to the end of eon 3, and that's where we are on the map. Ladies and gentlemen, on the map of the eons, we're at the end of eon 3. And what's tomorrow? Friday? I'm going to have my cigar. I'm going to need it because we're going to talk about, well, actually, it's going to be a celebratory cigar because tomorrow I get to talk about eons 4 and 5. And then at the end of tomorrow, for the weekend, I'm going to demonstrate for you with my left hand the five eons. It's a handy chart of the eons. Get it? Handy. And you're going to be able to use your hand to inform people about the eons. And if they don't get it, you can then use your hand to slap them.